Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Morning. It's Wilde and Tausch here on ESPN Wisconsin. I don't have all of the additions that Jason Wilde has. We're efforting. I think we're having a little connection issue. We'll have Jason shortly, hopefully. I don't have any additions. I have a bunch of stuff I want to get to, including Ben Brust is getting after me about a take I had yesterday that our defense made a bunch of that the Green Bay Packers defense made a bunch of strides and got a lot better. I don't know why that is a controversial take, but in Ben's world, and then he got his guys to jump on board. And then I believe a segment later they didn't. We'll get into that. I am fascinated by Nizer Forkereen and the college football landscape. I want to talk shop with everybody, our ESPN Milwaukee YouTube, all of our listeners. I'm fascinated to hear where everybody's at with that, because this is the new college football era. Guys are going to try to keep playing. Guys that aren't going to be pros are going to want to keep playing, and I'm not sure what college football is going to do about it, so I'm intrigued by that. And I'm also intrigued, Hunter Vaughn producing. I'm not sure why and how this all worked out, but Hunter was a Tuesday, Thursday guy this week. Hunter, is that how this is all shaking out for you?
Yep. Tuesday, Thursday. You'll have Riley Yauch again on Friday.
Youngster.
So yeah, Jesse thought he'd have some fun with the way everything shook out for producers.
Yeah, well, he's done a nice job when he's filled in. We obviously had primetime Wooly yesterday, and I'll be honest with you. We have a bunch of calls on our air. This is Tausch, Wilde and Tausch. We're going to get started here. Jason, we'll get him figured out here shortly. We do a bunch of calls at our company. We have meetings and we do things that I think are fantastic. Content calls and digital calls, and we're always trying to improve. And I'm going to be honest with you. I reluctantly joined Twitter about 10 years ago, about when the matter of fact, I started jumping on Twitter when our show started. Wilde and Tausch started in the August, I believe, of 2015. So we will be 10 years old this July, because it says right on the thing. And yesterday I get on, and Evan Cohen joins our show on a regular basis. Tuesdays, usually it was Thursdays. And I get on the call, and Hunter, I don't think you were on this call yesterday, but he gets on, and 3 minutes into the call, they're talking about what your labels are on Twitter, what you put down. And at that point in time, I put down, I was not a Packer Hall of Famer when I started Twitter. I was not the color analyst for the radio show, or for the radio with Matt LaPay. And so I had on Racket Enthusiast and some of the other stuff. So Evan Cohen puts out there, It is the worst Twitter bio of any GKB teammate at our company. That's the call in front of, well, we have a couple hundred people on this call. And I have to agree with him. I did have, you would have had no idea that I hosted a show on Good Karma Brands. You would have had no idea any of my professional things. You knew that I liked tennis, and I liked, I don't even know what else was on there. So, Hunter, when you get on one of these calls, somebody comes at you, but it's fair, are you all right with it?
I haven't had anybody really get after me. Apparently, we do have Jason, though. I'm working on having him on video, so. You there,
hi.
Jason? Hey!
Hey, nice of you to join us, Jason. Got me riffing here for 5 minutes on Twitter.
I've been here the whole time. I was actually introducing the show when you began introducing it, so I don't know what the technical glitches were, but yes, it's great to be with you. I thought your bio, by the way, was great when you put it together. The racket enthusiast is fantastic.
Yeah.
Because it covers both your tennis and you, which you don't play anymore, I guess, and your pickleball skills. Yes, probably including the show is worthwhile. Although, again, I don't think a lot of people are clicking our bios, and people know who you are. And you are a Packers Hall of Famer now, but you know, your guy Elon has certainly changed the dynamic of Twitter overall. I'm more concerned about this, do we call it beef with KBN? Because I watched that, apparently more of it than other people did, and I got to be honest, I'm irritated for you.
Yeah, so before we get to that, what if you're redoing my bio? Because I just redid it. I take coaching, as you know, very strongly. Evan crushed me on the call, which was fair. So I did change it. What do you think the big things I would have to make sure I put on my bio? Before you look, Jason, what do you think are the things I need to put on there?
Well, Packers Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Wildy and Tausch.
Yes.
Your work as the analyst for the Badger Football Radio Network.
Yes. You have my bio up, don't you? I could tell. You got the bio up, don't you?
I don't. I can hold it up. I don't know where the camera is. I can hold it up. I don't have that. I actually have the rundown because I thought I was running the show today. Again, I don't know. Like, I can tell you what my bio is. You want to hear what mine is? I'm sure Evan would crush me for it, too.
All right, let's hear it.
Maddie / Sid's dad.
Okay.
Paula's husband. Stella, Sadie, Boomer, Luna, Sam, Pri, Sabrina, AJ's zookeeper. Tausch's,
how do you get that many characters?
Tausch's co-host. ESPN Wisconsin's / Wisconsin State Journal's Packers guy. Then the website that I have as my chosen link is wisconsinondemand.com.
Okay, so you've done, I think you did probably a pretty good job. You hit where you want to go, and I think the point of Evco yesterday was you're on social media not as your own dude. You're doing this as a way to get to your audience and to grow your audience. That's how I look at it. Because I had put down father, husband, all of that good stuff, and I ran out of characters. So the big thing was getting linked up and having the stuff up there. And you covered, for the most part, you covered the gist of what we have on there. So I think we've righted it. I'm assuming when Evan joins us next week, I'll revisit that and make sure he finds this the right way, so that next time we do a digital call or a audio call, I don't get crushed in front of our teammates.
So are you no longer a racket enthusiast?
No, I am. So a little fun fact. I'll be heading up towards Green Bay tomorrow. I don't think you're even going to be up there, but we have a big opening of one of our pickleball operations, the Pickler. I am a part of that, so we put Pickler up there to make sure you can find our locations that we have started. We have two or three that are coming on board. Green Bay's grand opening is on Saturday, so I'll be up there for part of the weekend. And that has replaced racket enthusiast in my bio.
If you don't mind, can you tell me more about the Pickler?
Certainly, it is a so there's obviously pickleball has grown at a high clip throughout the country.
Yes,
and the Pickler is one of these franchises that has gotten started. They started kind of down south and out in Utah.
Utah.
And I was approached. That's one of my favorite states. It's my second
favorite
state. They wanted to get a presence in the state of Wisconsin. So we talked and have had discussions. And obviously I have joined their team. And so we are, putting a bunch of spots up in the state of Wisconsin. And our first one is going live Saturday up in Green Bay, kind of over by the off of Holmgren Way there. So that will be, I'll be up there playing pickleball for a couple of hours, and we'll, got a big ribbon cutting, and the mayor and all that good jazz are coming over there tomorrow.
Ribbon cutting.
Yeah.
Given that this program on occasion has teased various folks who have had the ribbon cutting responsibilities, our former, now retired, good friend from AmFam, Dan Kelly. We teased him when it did not get executed. Are you nervous at all about your ribbon cutting skills?
Well, I'm not cutting the ribbon. I'm just there for the ribbon cutting. I'm doing a show. One of us has to work. So one of us has to actually do the show.
First of all,
Sarah may do it. We'll have our team from Pickler. That'll be up there. I will not be. First off, it's not rocket science. Dan made it a little tougher than he probably needed to, or the Packers gave him a dull scissors. I don't know who we want to lean on as far as who's right and wrong.
Probably both.
I don't think ribbon cutting is that hard. I think that's probably about as easy a gig as you're going to have.
Oh, now I really want you to do it, and then just see if it's as easy as you're presenting
it.
Well, that's exciting, and it's on Holmgren Way.
I offered to have Jason play. I wanted Jason to play with me, but he has got other things he has to do, so I wanted to throw that out to him and to his crew, but unfortunately that timing didn't work for young Jason Wilde.
Not so young Jason Wilde, but yes, we have a very busy weekend, and I'm actually off the show tomorrow because we're juggling some things. So I know you and Homer will be crushing it tomorrow on the show without me. Now, I'm excited for that, but I really want to hear your rebuttal on this KBN business, because I did watch the entirety of that segment. They were highly critical of you, but then they kind of circled back to I don't understand what happened, frankly. Yeah. they basically experienced what I do, except I process it faster. The initial thought of Tausch doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Wait a minute. He actually does know what he's talking about. You know what?
You know
he's
the disappointing
right.
part of that? Brust, I know Brust. Brust, first off, is a Bears guy. Like, he's been a Bears fan his whole life, and then he transported himself in. So, whatever.
So he's faking
Brust is going to do Brust things. Now, Brust is Brust. So he can say things, and that's fine.
God,
exactly,
that,
Coach. I couldn't agree more. But Nordy and Kyle just latched on, and it was embarrassing. Like, oh, yeah, Ben, that's a great point, Ben. Yeah. And then Ben, a segment later, basically says what I said. Oh, the defense has gotten better. I didn't say they were going to win a Super Bowl. I said the defense played well enough to win. That's what I said. Verbatim.
That is what you said. Indeed.
And they crush me, call me delusional, There were some words thrown around that was just crazy to me. Hunter, what were the other words that they used?
Bruss dropped blasphemy on it.
Yeah, which, I don't even know if he knows what that word means.
Yeah, I was I know he didn't go to Wisconsin to play school, but like that's not the right word there, Ben. Like, Tausch wasn't speaking in a way of being disrespectful to the Packers. He was talking about the defense getting better and them playing
and
well.
Then they're
like, it was weird.
They're hitting the toad button like I'm some frog and a toad for the Packers. I look at things from the perspective of how is this team doing. I've been very critical of Matt LaFleur.
Yes, you have. Indeed.
So I just, that whole conversation, go ahead and tune in and listen, and then listen to the next segment, and you're going to think to yourself like Adam Sandler in Billy Madison. That's honestly what I thought. Like, what did I just listen to? And I just got dumber for listening to what those three fools were saying. That's what happened.
We will play a snippet of that coming up next, and then we will get Tausch's full rebuttal. I have some numbers that are designed to help with that process.
I don't have any more rebuttals. They ended up going through the process and coming back to, yeah, actually what Tausch said is accurate, but the defense has to, hey guys, teams get better. That's what happens. This defense was markedly better, and they played a playoff game with four turnovers and had it 16-10 in the fourth quarter. If your offense could go move the ball and score, you win the game. It wasn't hard to watch. Just watch the games and you can make good analysis of what happened. Don't just, it just makes no sense to me.
Great. Well, I'm glad we got you a little bit fired up. We will get to that coming up after Tausch tells us, you know, Goody doesn't believe in windows, but maybe if he spent a little time with Gene Adella and the team from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, he would understand what it means to have open, beautiful windows.
I think we only got a day or two left of that. Means a lot of rough days ahead. For those who suffer from seasonal affective disorder, plenty of gray, frigid days on the horizon where we all just want to be snugly and warm at home. Pella can make your home as beautiful on the outside as it is comfortable on the inside. Celebrate the new year with zero interest for up to 3 years at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. But hurry up, you only have until January 31st. So visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. Certain restrictions do apply.
We'll get to Tausch's comment and the reaction to it. I'm being told by multiple sources that Chewy also had a take on that this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll break it down next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Let's make tonight. I don't wanna wait. Got no reason not to celebrate. Baby, I just don't wanna wait.
Wildy and Tausch back with you.
Guy, you're rattled today, man. You're all over the place today. You look fresh.
Actually, I've been in the exact same place the entire time, apparently. We had a communication breakdown, but I'm not rattled at all. I just need to make sure that from the Grubel offices, one call, that's all studios, Grubel offices, one call, that's all. Everyone knows that I'm ready to go. That's apparently the only issue. And apparently it is go time in terms of, I don't want to call it beef with KBN, but I kind of feel like that's what it is because
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have any beef. They're repurposing some stuff I said, which I said I don't have any problem. What I said is what I said. I don't know. How is anybody arguing that the defense made bigger jumps than the offense, that the defense got a lot better, and the defense played well enough at the end of the season to win games? Like, who's arguing that? Did anybody that watched the games disagree with me on that?
Again, I don't know what exactly, you know, you've joked about this, that the worst job at 1265 Lombardi Avenue is defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. Again, the numbers. The Green Bay Packers finished the season 6th in the 32-team NFL in scoring defense, 5th in total defense.
Sucks. That stinks.
5th in total defense.
That ain't good enough to win.
4th in takeaways.
That stinks.
4th in takeaways. Now, if you look at the teams that finished ahead of them in scoring defense, the Los Angeles Chargers, made the playoffs, lost their first playoff game. Yep. The Philadelphia
their offense
Eagles
wasn't good enough either.
The Philadelphia Eagles, who were the number one total defense, number two in scoring defense, they're playing in the Super Bowl. The Denver Broncos, who made the playoffs. The Kansas City Chiefs, who were fourth in scoring defense and ninth in total defense. The Minnesota Vikings, then the Green Bay Packers, sixth. The Detroit Lions, seventh. The Pittsburgh Steelers, eighth. The Baltimore Ravens, ninth. The Miami Dolphins, 10th. The Buffalo Bills, 11th. Refresh my memory, Miami did not make the playoffs. They're the only team in the top 11 that did not make the playoffs that was a top 11 defense in scoring defense. Defense matters in this league. They don't want it to matter, and they make it as difficult as they can on defenses to matter, but it matters. The Packers' defense was good enough. Quite frankly, statistically, it was better than the Chiefs' defense in terms of yards per game, and it was better than the injury-plagued Lions defense, both in scoring and in total yardage allowed. My point is that their what you said was true, even though you didn't say it was good enough to win the Super Bowl.
Nah, I never said that. Nope.
You could argue that it was good enough to win the Super Bowl. That's not what you said.
So, Jason, here's the thing. You have to judge, and I'm guessing when you look back, you could say, well, the defense, how did the defense do against the big boys? Philly, Minnesota, Detroit. You know, the games that you'd look like and you'd say, all right, Detroit obviously had a lot of success on offense. Minnesota obviously had a lot of success on offense. But you have to look at the back end of the season. Every team gets better or worse. You don't stay the same. I don't know how many anybody that's played at a professional level, coaches pound that into your head because they want you to keep improving. This defense played the Philadelphia Eagles, which, by the way, they are representing the NFC. Green Bay urinated down their leg four times. A kick return fumble, interception. And you gave up 16 points on short fields. Their offense looked inept for most of the game. Philly's did. The Packers' defense got a lot better. The Packers' defense trending the right way. Does that mean they're perfect? Oh, if you feel that way, this was one of the things.
Why Philadelphia is in the Super Bowl?
Saquon, offensive line, all that's important. They're in the Super Bowl because they got their blank together on defense.
Yeah, you're right.
Their defense went from the outhouse to darn near the penthouse. The good news as a Packer fan and why somebody, oh, how far away are they? Oh, they got a long window. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay, cute. Our defense made big strides.
No doubt.
Our defense was good enough this season to win. Our offense didn't get it done when the money was on the table.
16-10 in the fourth quarter of a playoff game when their offense turned the ball over four times. All right.
Why?
So Tausch, that was not live. That was Memorex Tausch. That's what you said yesterday. We'll get to what those knuckleheads had to say because it was a lot. Also, Chewy spoke today on the Packers defense. I'm trying to understand again what exactly is the bar at this point for the Green Bay Packers defense for anyone to think that it's good enough? Because, for example, I heard the argument that their defense wasn't good enough in the loss to the Vikings at home, right? Wasn't that one of the things that we heard?
We did, yeah.
When I go back and look at that game, which here's one of the many things I don't understand about where we're at in terms of viewing the Green Bay Packers. I don't understand why some are willing to make excuses for Jordan Love, but are not willing to make excuses for the defense, which I'm not saying you should be making excuses for the defense, but the Green Bay Packers loss to the Minnesota Vikings, a 31-29 loss in which they fell behind 28-0. Jordan Love threw three picks in that game.
Yeah.
That may have had something to do with digging
21 points, I believe, off of turnovers that game.
So, you know, if you want to sit here and go, oh, they gave up 374 yards to the Vikings in that game, I get it. I get it. They also, the defense, got three turnovers in that game, which allowed them to rally and get back into the game. The Detroit Lions had the best offense in football, one of the best in NFL history. So, yes, did they lose in Detroit 34-31? Yeah. Would you have liked your defense to have been able to do more? Yeah. Even good defenses get in shootouts. So that sometimes happens to good defenses. You sometimes, the other guys get paid too. Now, do you want to argue that their numbers benefited from playing the New Orleans Saints, who they shut out? Of course, right? Shutouts, here's a newsflash. Shutouts really help your final numbers. When you can have one of those games, that really helps in terms of yardage, in terms of points allowed, everything like that. I get it. Again, makes total sense. But the Philadelphia Eagles played the Saints too, and beat them 15-12. So I'm sure the numbers offensively for the Saints in that game were helpful to their statistics. The Commanders played them and beat them. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers played them and beat them. So let's remember that everyone gets to
Commanders
play some.
Commanders put up 34 on Philly too a couple weeks ago.
Right. So again, the Packers were not good enough to be a Super Bowl team. That's everybody. Right? That includes the defense. There were shortcomings on defense. No one is sitting here and saying that there aren't shortcomings defensively. But having watched the entirety of that segment that KBN had, and you know, I'm a big Brad Nortman fan. I was surprised that he joined the choir.
He jumped right in bed
there
with Brusty there. Oh, yeah, yeah, Ben. Great point,
that,
Ben.
That
was embarrassing.
I think he might have said, "I couldn't agree with you more." That was,
yeah. Oh, Ben, what a great point, Ben. Oh, yeah, great point. And then a segment later, you went against the exact point you just made. So, yeah, great stuff.
So I did not hear the subsequent segment where there was backtracking. I definitely don't. I never want there to be beef between shows. I personally don't. I don't like that. So I'm not trying to. But I think it's a worthwhile conversation. It kind of sounds like, I mean, listening to the tone of voice, it's not the friendliest tone you've ever had.
Well, he called me absurd and it was blasphemy.
There was another word he used that I don't think he knew the meaning of either, frankly.
Yeah, and I don't mind. Listen, man, you're going to have takes, and I'm going to be wrong. I'm not right on everything, but, you know, just make sure your point's back. At least you believe for more than a day. Like, that's not asking that much. Give it a day, not 5 minutes. Like,
well, let's do this. Let's, when we come back, we'll let our fans be the judge. But the overarching question, because you know I love to use this sort of stuff as what I like to call the jumping off point. Do you think the Packers defense was, as a whole, taking everything into account, good enough this year or not? Thinking back to other defenses that you've watched as a Packers fan, was their pass rush not effective enough, especially when they would send their front four? I don't think it was good enough. But as a whole, as an entire unit, with the number of takeaways it had, with the way it improved against the run, with how much of a field tilter Xavier McKinney was.
Jason, were you happy with the progress the defense made this season under Jeff Hafley?
Undeniably.
Because they obviously weren't good. They weren't good enough to win a championship.
No,
they weren't the 85
Bears. Which you never
Bears.
Said they were, by the way.
No, and I still don't. The defense was markedly better than what we've seen.
Yep. And I'm very eager to see what Jeff Hafley does in year two when guys are comfortable in the system, when they augment their defensive roster yet again. But look, for a group that has spent a lot of capital on defense, especially first-round picks, this time around, they did not use a first-rounder on defense. They used it on Jordan Morgan, an offensive lineman. But I don't know how you look at both of their second-round picks contributed, one more than the other. But you look at what Edger and Cooper did, he looks like a field-tilting player. He has to build on this. and make a jump in year two. But he undeniably looks like that. Javon Bullard looks like a fantastic Swiss Army knife that they can use in a myriad of ways. And Evan Williams looks like a stud to me, not just because he went to Oregon.
So, Jason, here's what I am going to say. We get crown happy.
Mm-hmm. Did it with the quarterback last year.
Let's not be crown happy. No, but we're crown happy on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
We have Edgerrin Cooper as the next Brian Urlacher, and
No, but he tilted the field in their direction this season, just like Jordan Love did during the second half of last season. But that doesn't guarantee that you can sustain that. And you know that, and I know that, and you know that I know
I'm just
that.
Saying, we got to stop with the crowning. We crown guys too soon. We did last year. I'm a lesson learner. Learn lessons in life. Stop crowning people right away. Do I think they're good players? I think Edgerrin Cooper's got a chance to be a really good player. I ain't crowning him Urlacher, just like I didn't crown Xavier McKinney, Charles Woodson, like some people did. Xavier McKinney had a really good year. He ain't Chuck Woodson. He's not.
And you should know better than to call him Chuck, one. Two,
no, he's not listening today.
Never said that he was Charles Woodson, the Hall of Fame player. I want to get to this audio so people who did not hear it know what we're talking about here. We'll do that coming up. Maybe you're a little grumpy because you didn't get a great night's sleep. Maybe you're a little under the weather. Whatever it may be, if you go in to Steinhoffel's and test rest a Beauty Rest Black mattress, you'll have a chance to win a dream vacation to Hawaii. Who doesn't need that? More importantly, you'll probably find your next mattress and you'll sleep a lot better. Queen Beauty Rest mattresses start at Steinhoffel's at just $399, and you can add an adjustable base and save up to $900 more. Plus, the Queen Beauty Rest Black mattresses start at just $38 per month when you use Steinhoffel's 60-month financing, and you get up to $300 in Steinhoffel's cash. So don't overpay for a good night's sleep. Shop Steinhoffel's Beauty Rest mattresses in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. We will hear from KBN. I am in the Grubel offices, one call That's All Studios. I'll search the facility, see if Brust is milling about here or if Ben wants to come on and further discuss this. I'm guessing he's not in quite yet, judging from the smile on Joshy's face. Might be a little early for Ben to be in here, but who knows? Maybe he'll saunter by. We'll talk about it next, though. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Madison's home for Milwaukee Bucks basketball.
Lillard, three-pointer for the lead. It's Dame time.
Madison's home of Dame time is 100.5 ESPN.
All right, without further ado, Hunter, you've got this. Now, how did you even edit this down? Like, they spent like 20 minutes basically trashing Tausch before coming around to his opinion.
Well, so, as we were talking or texting after all of this happened, honestly, I stopped listening after Brust's blasphemy line, and I was like, I just can't.
So there's a lot more after that.
Oh, great. Yeah, so that's all I pulled. I mean, if we want more, then I'll have to pull some more. But I figured it kind of summed up the stupidity in the minute 41 segment that I got. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're good. And I mean, the bottom line on it is, I think where we've gotten to, and this is the jumping off point, is I think we all agree the pass rush against the big boys wasn't good enough.
No doubt.
But this defense, when you get judged on postseason football, that doesn't mean what happened in September and October doesn't count, but it's a different team. Everybody started getting more and more comfortable with Jeff Hafley's system.
Yeah.
You're going to build off of what you saw in December and January. And you're going to see, and obviously people are down at the Senior Bowl, and you're going to upgrade your roster. Because one of the arguments that these guys had was, well, if it was so good, they just run it back. Well, if you know anything about the NFL, you don't run anything back because you can't, because there's free agents, you draft. Like, there is a 20 to 25% roster turnover. It just is. And you weren't good enough in four-down rush consistently enough. And we went over that all day Tuesday, and I'm sure that'll be a talking point all before the draft, is that position group needs to get better. That's why they fired their coach.
Why they fired, yes,
so
exactly.
You can get better and still be a good defense that had every opportunity to help your team advance to the next round of the playoffs. And that is all I really said, is the defense more than did its job. The offense
which has not always been the case in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
No. God, no. Exactly.
Let's hear how Ben Brust framed his thoughts on Tausch's thoughts. Here it is from KBN across ESPN Wisconsin.
The good news as a Packer fan, and why somebody, oh, how far away are they? Oh, they got a long window. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay, cute. Our defense made big strides.
No doubt.
Our defense was good enough this season to win. Our offense didn't get it done when the money was on the table.
I cannot sit here and listen to Tausch say that and then use the evidence in front of me outside of a playoff game to be like, you know what? Yeah, the defense was good enough to get us to a Super Bowl. Do we forget in week one they gave up 34 points to the Philadelphia Eagles? Do we forget in week five they gave up 31 to the Minnesota Vikings? 24 against the Lions? Sure, we'll give them a little bit of a break there, but at the same time, there was plenty of snow and bad weather on the ground. Then you go to Ford Field. 34 you give up to the Lions, and then you play the Vikings again, and you give up 27. Did the defense take strides? Abso-freaking-lutely. But how am I supposed to use the sample size that we all saw in the five games of the regular season in which they lost to teams with a better record than them and then say, oh, because the 22-12 game, the defense played well against the Eagles, that this defense was good enough to win a Super Bowl? We're all talking and wishing for a pass rusher right now because we know the defense has made strides, but isn't good enough. Were they good enough in that game against Philadelphia? Yes. But the narrative that the defense this past season, they're like, this is blasphemy.
Who the hell gives a whether Ben Brust is right?
I don't know why he's yelling. I also think it's important to point out, for example, that the Detroit Lions, who scored 24 points in the rain, it was not snowing, it was rain that night.
Seven freebies that we gave them.
The Detroit Lions averaged on the season 33.2 points per game. They led the league in scoring. Mm-hmm. So 34.
Was there not a pick six right before the half, too? On a screen pass?
Yeah.
There was.
Yes.
So that's 17 points. And I think six more of those came off a different turnover. So bottom line is, and if Ben, and this is why it is what it is, Ben is saying blasphemy and all this. The blasphemy is Ben putting words in my mouth that I said Super Bowl, which I didn't, and then backtracking a segment later. That really is what is blasphemous about it? But I'm not going to hold a grudge. Like, it is what it is.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're not a grudge holder. I tend to be that. But I just don't. I think the overarching question that I would like our fans to respond to, and it's really twofold, how good do you think the defense was this year, knowing that there were definitely shortcomings, and where is your excitement or expectation level for the 2025 season from this group? Because I also noticed, as Ben ran through those, that he referenced a lot of games that were earlier in the year. Yeah. I didn't hear him talking about some of the late season numbers in terms of what the defense gave up. And it would stand to reason. Like, bringing up that they gave up 34 to the Eagles in the opener, in the first game in a new system.
In a different country?
Yeah, I'm not sure that is germane to where they finished the season.
Some
it is
would
a
say
process.
That's blasphemous. Some would say that's probably blasphemous.
Not, I personally would not. Just
any chance
I know Brust
can spell
means.
Blasphemous?
I'm
There's no chance, right? No chance.
Again, if you look at the way they finished the season, we were all talking about how they scored at least 30 points in five straight games. That stretch, starting with their loss to the Lions that you referenced that had the pick six, 24-14 loss. Their next three wins over the 49ers, Dolphins, and the Bears, 49ers, and Dolphins, 20-19, 38-10, 30-17. Then they lose to the Lions on the road, 34-31. Then their final two wins over Seattle and New Orleans, 30-13 and 34-0. Yes, the Vikings got 27, and yes, the Bears got 24 in the last two games, but I don't know how you don't look at that defense and then see what they did in the playoff game and think their arrow was very much pointed in the right direction and feel very good about what they're capable of. I can't have that conversation with you.
Hey, and it's fine that Benny and his team over at KBN doesn't feel that way. That's great. Have an opinion and roll with it. That's fine. But I saw a playoff game that I thought our defense was as good as anybody. And by the way, watch what Philly has done since running the football. Yeah, Saquon had, I don't know how many explosive runs he had. Philly's offense that day was limited. Big
no doubt.
Time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
All right. I do want to get feedback. I'm getting a bunch of responses already in the YouTube comments, some that I'm not going to bring up because they're critical of our teammates, and we're not in that business. But I do want to know what you think of this defense. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. That is the Carbless talk and text line.
I wonder, and I know Hunter is the king of the blind resume, and I'm not sure what blind resumes we're going to do later in the show, but of all of the playoff teams, where would have Green Bay's defense been slotted? Philly's ahead of them. No doubt. Who else's defense is ahead? Kansas City's would be ahead.
You know, I want to be fair to Detroit's defense, by the way, because we all know. Like, do you believe that if Detroit has half as many
injuries as they have? I believe Jaden Daniels would much rather play Detroit's defense than Green Bay's. That I believe.
I was going to say if they had not been decimated with injury. That was a damn good defense.
Well, the Titanic was a heck of a deal. The Titanic was a heck of a deal until it hit an iceberg. Like, it is what it is. The movie at the Ford's Theater was pretty good until it wasn't. Like, you have to deal in reality, Jason. It's not reality. So
it was a play at Ford Theater.
Movie play. It's all back then. It was considered a movie.
Okay.
Grubelov says, one call, that's all. David and his team not only are so supportive of our show, but obviously I'm in the one call, that's all. Grubelov says, studios here at the Avenue and the 3rd Street Market Hall in Milwaukee. More importantly, though, they are the call to make if you've been seriously injured in an accident. 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. Grubelov says, one call. That's all. We'll get some of your thoughts on the Packers defense next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
That is the Carbless talk and text line. How do you feel as a Packers fan about this defense? Where it stands, where it can go in year two under Jeff Hafley, what it needs to add to be a Super Bowl championship caliber defense, all that matters. But we have some breaking news from our friend Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com.
Now, this is some breaking news.
The Packers are planning to hire former Patriots defensive coordinator DeMarcus Covington as their new defensive line coach and promote Sean Mannion to quarterbacks coach. Sources told ESPN.
Is Orlovsky a consultant or is he just not coming?
I don't think Dan Orlovsky is coming, and I don't know that he was ever being considered.
Well, your smear campaign against Orlovsky worked, just like you got Russ Ball not hired as a GM. Well done again, Wildy. You keep getting it done. Nice job.
Yeah, I don't think I had anything to do with Dan Orlovsky not getting that job.
How about with Russ Ball? Hey, oh boy. How about with Russ Ball?
Just reported what Aaron Rodgers felt.
Just reported
what Aaron Rodgers felt.
Yeah, you did.
Somebody else that was working in the building felt similarly. He was the head coach of the football team, so I think that also carried some weight at the time.
But
bottom line, as some on this panel were trying to tell you, Sean Mannion made the most sense for that job. So he had a year of, say, an internship, quarterback's coach in waiting, if you will, to learn from Tom Clements and now Jordan Love at a very critical point in Jordan Love's development has a new quarterback's coach. Per Rob Domofsky, it will be Sean Mannion, the former NFL backup who joined the staff a year ago. Tausch, I would guess that this was probably part of the conversation and why Sean Mannion, who had multiple opportunities to join other coaching staffs, including, I believe, both the Rams and the 49ers wanted him to. I'm going to guess that the possibility of being the full-time quarterback's coach was probably one of the things that he was thinking was a real possibility with Tom Clements turning 71 and getting close to retirement. Wouldn't you think so?
Oh, you think they threw a little sprinkler out there and said, hey, yeah, old Tommy boy is going to call it a day. We'll put you in the old big chair. You think that's what happened?
Yeah, I do. I think that was something that maybe wasn't promised, but if you could read the tea leaves, you were aware of that. All right, I want to get back to the defense.
Or the breadcrumbs like Hansel and Gretel.
Some might say.
That beautiful poster that's starting a fire.
I don't think there's a fireplace at the Tundra Trio. So to the best of my knowledge, it should be still in the living room of one of the houses, and we can frame it and hang it there, and then it can be displayed prominently.
If Matt LaFleur was to give up play calling, who is the guy? Steno?
I would think Stenovich rather than giving it to somebody who has been an offensive coordinator twice in Luke Getsy, maybe with. What do the kids say? That's a poverty franchise, Josh. Is that the line? It's a poverty franchise. But the Bears and the Raiders aren't exactly the most. They're a little dysfunctional. Let's be honest, right? Maybe that's changing. They both changed head coaches, and they're starting new eras. But
what does that have to do with my question I just asked you when you said poverty franchise? What's the correlation there?
Are you struggling today?
No, I said who would you call?
Yeah,
who would
Luke
call the plays?
Getsy was the offensive play caller for both of those teams. And he is now on the Packers staff. He would be the other consideration to be the play caller other than Steno if Matt LaFleur gave it up.
Poverty franchise. Like, I guess I just didn't correlate the two.
Cuz he worked for two he was the play caller for two teams that some might call poverty franchises given how dysfunctional they are.
Tausch, you weren't listening to Jason, because I got where he was going with that.
I was listening to Jason.
You clearly weren't,
I didn't understand.
Though, because he literally answered your question, but then gave more context of, yes, he got fired from those positions, but those are poverty franchises, so how much do you hold it against Luke Getsy? I didn't think it was that difficult to track.
I appreciate your translation for me, Hunter.
You're welcome.
Be that as it may, I do want to get back to talking about the defense. I don't think Matt LaFleur is giving up play calling. He always says that's on the table. We saw Mike McCarthy do it briefly and then realize that was a mistake and take it back. He did it again in Dallas and let Kellen Moore call plays and then realized he needed to call the plays. I don't think offensive head coaches give up the play calling very easily, and oftentimes when they do, they regret it. I do not see that occurring, but I would think it would be Steno over Luke Getsy, who just returned to the organization.
Because of the poverty more franchise. That's what I just learned right there. That's what I learned.
No.
Well. Right. No or yeah? I'm just trying to keep up with what was going on. I know I was just blasphemized by saying I wasn't listening. Actually, I was, and I was trying to piece together. LaFleur's not going to give up play calling. But if he did, it would be Steno because Luke Getsy failed at two poverty franchises. That's the synopsis I just got. Fair?
No. It's do you hold against him the fact that his offenses that he called plays for were for a pair of poverty franchises that are dysfunctional, and does that mean he's a bad play caller? And if Matt LaFleur, in this theoretical realm that you've created, where he gives up the play calling, would he give it to Steno, who has never called plays other than in preseason games, or would he give it to the guy that is the senior offensive assistant who's called plays for two teams, but both of them sucked with bad quarterback situations? I don't think he's giving up play calling so he doesn't have to worry about it, but I would think it would be Steno that would get the call to do so. I know this. If you play prize picks wisely, you will not be a poverty person. You'll be much wealthier because you'll have turned your sports opinions into cash.
That's Jason telling me to stop this conversation, but I'm also fascinated. Getsy, not successful. Hackett, does that just tell you how great Aaron Rodgers was? Or does it tell you Matt LaFleur's hiring? There's a lot of questions that you could delve into there. There is no questions when you're looking for a great daily fantasy sports who to play with, and that is PrizePicks. Over 10 million members and billions of dollars. PrizePicks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to everybody. It's simple, more or less, on at least two players for a shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash on PrizePicks. And, the big game is almost here, and it's now or never. Don't miss out on the big game of the season with PrizePicks, the best place to win cash while watching the big game. PrizePicks is also giving away a free pick for the big game, where one of the starting quarterbacks in the big game will only need to throw 1 yard to win. I believe it's going to be Patrick Mahomes in said big game. If you're correct on at least one other stat projection, you can win real cash in the big game. Check out the promos tab to tail any of our super sweat Millie winner big game lineups. If you tail a lineup that goes 3 for 3, you can win a split of $1 million. That's probably why they call it the super sweat Millie winner big game lineup. Download the app today. Use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI for the great state of Wisconsin to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup in the big game. Prize picks.
Run!
Your
game.
Oh, I thought you were going to say big, and then I would say game because, of course, it's the big game is coming up. I don't know if you heard that in that read, but it's the big game.
Yeah, that's super. We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.